You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey, what's going on?
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, Greg? How's everything going? I feel like this chair is low. I need to raise it up. You know, I like the Phil Jackson seat, that big high chair, so I can look over the court. I feel good. What is this, Thursday? So, yeah, Thursday. It's a good day. It's a good day getting closer to the weekend championship Sunday. And that's it.
All right. Fair enough. That's
one more day closer to pitchers and catchers.
There you go.
That's what you're counting down to.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm counting.
That's what you're counting down to. I can't wait until that day of pitchers and catchers come. And Corey's like, what day is it? It's Wednesday. What's going on, Matt?
I'm doing well. I think we got to get CP, the Jerry Bruckheimer chair, where he's up high and everybody's down below, the little people below. I'm raring to go. I love that phrase, pitchers and catchers report.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'm ready to go. I'm excited.
Didn't
to talk baseball.
Did you start a draft last night?
I started a draft last night.
To beat the BFFs league.
Is that officially live? Yeah, it's draft champions, man.
Draft champions.
And there is dissension in your league.
There is.
Other BFF, Mike Florio, has joined up to compete against.
Oh! It's a BFF beef.
Yeah.
It's a little BFF beef.
I just logged into the league page for Trendset. Let me tell you how people are. Yeah. You know, try to be trolls or funny.
Sure.
I just logged into the Trendsetters, the NFFC Trendsetters 2018 Fantasy Football League. My team name is Corey Says Fly, Eagles Fly. So you know who did that, Matt. Andy Saxon.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm an Eagle fan.
So
by any stretch of the imagination.
Thanks to Andy Saxon. We got this fan tracks thing set up with the BFFs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He set that up too?
Well, he hooked us up with the guy that would set it up.
Okay. Is he in it?
He's not. No.
Okay.
Mike Florio went on his own. It was that beat Mike Florio league. And Frank and I are like, hello. What about us?
Yeah.
So then we started our own league, and Mike Florio paid $50 to come try to beat us.
I think he said he's going to beat
nice.
Us, too.
I'm sorry?
I think he stated to me that he is going
so
to
beat you us. And, so is you and Frank.
It's Frank and I are a team.
Uh-huh.
Florio is his own team.
Okay.
And then we have 13 other players that try to take us down.
Ron C is in it, right? Mailman?
Mailman's in it. We got Billy Hayes is in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Billy Hayes.
Jimmy Ross is in it.
I hope to God Billy Hayes comes in dead last.
I know you do. we'll see. Billy Hayes started out with his normal. He's on the clock at the moment. He's got 2 hours to go. Once this thing starts, he'll be live.
Also, this is fun. Y'all in the slow draft. How many picks have been made?
One. One, like, one round.
Oh, one round is done. Okay.
One round.
I'm going to say one pick. What did
that long last night? You guys picked.
Thanks for following along, Matt. We have Bryce Harper.
Nice.
It's your boy.
You're
Washington Nationals.
In my opinion, he's the best player in baseball.
And we got him at pick 11.
Really? At 11?
Pick 11.
Well, I was talking with Ronis last night in the D.C. He took him at 6.
God, that makes me feel good.
Wow.
Makes me feel good. You have Bryce Harper in a contract year. Do you think he could be the best player in baseball at pick 11? This is why we're going to win.
It's last year in Washington.
Very easy. How about that? Take a break. Roto Experts continues right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
On road. Roto experts here.
Brett, that was a Sussman jingle.
Yeah, what the hell is it that you're dancing to?
This is Darius Rucker.
Oh, that's the dude from Hootie and the Blowfish.
The dude from Hootie and the Blowfish.
How old is this song?
Not that old.
Oh, he makes music still?
He makes country music.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't listen to too much country music.
I like Darius, man. I'm all in.
I listen.
You're a Hootie guy.
If you love it, I like it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's how I felt yesterday when you named that whoever the song was. I was like, yeah, go that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Hey. All right, you know what? Screw it. Matt, we took Bryce Harper with the 11th overall pick.
Hey, look, I love it. I agree. He's going to be, what is he, 25? This guy has a Hall of Fame potential this early. Look, he has been injured. A wet bag wiped out his season last year. He was batting like circa 320. He was looking to follow up that MVP season from a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. I know in the middle of there, that season was disappointing. But once again, this is one of the uber talents of the game. 300 average, very doable, 40 home runs. I know you're going to hear, oh, he's never scored 100 runs, he's never driven in 100, all this kind of stuff. And we kind of heard that all about Stanton. Okay, Stanton last year was a third-round pick. But Harper, if you get him late in the first round, I don't know how you don't do it. I mean, you got to be looking ahead to say, who's going to be the top three next year? It's guys like Mookie Betts you can get in the middle or the second half of the first round. Mookie Betts' average was disappointing last year, but he gave you everything else. And I think he's more of a 300 hitter than a 265 hitter. So I mean I love Harper. I can argue I could take him as high as five or even in the top five. And that's the beauty of picking in that second half of the first round.
You're a Bryce Harper guy here.
I love Bryce Harper.
You're a Bryce Harper guy. What I did when I picked him at number 11, I was actually thinking of you, Matt. Because
not me?
Not you, Corey. Okay. No, of Matt. Because he always says when you make a pick, specifically in the first round, at that spot towards the end of the first round, you want a guy that can finish as number one overall player.
Yeah.
And when I was between Bryce Harper and Carlos Correa, and I said, okay, which one of these two guys has the best chance to finish as a number one overall player? And I thought Bryce Harper, and I thought a contract year, he was the MVP a couple of years ago. It was just a couple of years ago, he said, oh, Mike Trout or Bryce Harper. And I'm getting him at number 11 at 25 years old. I'm like, Bryce Harper is the one that has legitimately a shot to finish number one of the player rater.
One thing I noticed about Bryce Harper when it comes to fantasy circles, Bryce Harper is the kind of player that the closer you get to opening day, excuse me, he pushes up the board. Mm-hmm. So he can start in this back half of the first round. But as you get closer and closer to opening day, when people go hot, when the money come out, Bryce Harper shoots up to the top of the board.
I agree with that.
I took him in Vegas last year in my main event. I took him fifth overall. I had no hesitations in doing that. And I'll just look at the last 3 years. 2015, where he had that incredible season. He had a .330 average with a .369 BABIP. 2016, which he did have, something went wrong. He had some injury there. I don't think the shoulder was ever right. I mean, he played through it, but he had a .243 average and a .264 BABIP. You look at last year, once again, .319. He had a .356 BABIP. His career BABIP is .323. So to me, he's more of that, you know, .280 floor guy, and you know, .300 now. I think with his pitch recognition and plate discipline. Is more of the standard. Look, last year he didn't even have 500 at bats. He just was shy of that. He put up 29 homers, 95 runs, 87 RBIs in just under 500 at bats.
I kick and play. Bryce Harper. So, this is the thing with him, right? The injuries are a thing.
Yep.
But that's his style of play. He's balls to the wall, he goes all out. That's the way he goes about his business.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm curious about is this though. If he suffers another season where he's dealing with injuries and he doesn't reach his full potential, do people start backing off him years now? Because you can kind of say Bryce Harper got some Amari Cooper with him where you're always banking on potential. Now he's not gonna have a horrible season like Amari Cooper just had.
You know, I get what you're saying with the Amari Cooper, but Bryce Harper has produced at elite level.
Sure,
exactly. We've seen
it. Cooper's mm-hmm. never done.
Yep.
Cooper's put up the 1,000-yard season, but...
Not at elite level.
Yeah, not at the elite level. Just go to Fangraphs, check out Steamer. What you want in the first round I mean, Lindy Hinkleman will say this.
And oh, Lindy.
He's one of the best, the pig farmer from Idaho.
It's terrible on the radio, though.
you're basically looking for 30, 100, and 100. That's what you want from your first-round pick. You want guys like that. You want to scoop up as many of those early on that you can. And look, stolen bases are nice to add into that mix with those players. And, I mean, Steamer has him for 37, 100, 104, with a 303 batting average.
So, you mentioned, look at Steamer. And this is something I've wondered, and Corey's wondered. Yeah, I know. So, we used to host a radio show with a friend of ours, who used to tell us what Steamer projected all the time.
He's a nut.
Corey and I would sit here and be like, I don't give two, you know what's about Steamer.
Because Steamer
is the most accurate, though.
It's two dudes from Queens. So they don't know. They don't have a crystal ball.
So I hear about that, and you know, I talked to you know our friend Nando DeFino, and he's just like, I don't care about Steamer. It's wrong. It's not accurate. And yet, someone I respect and I trust about baseball is telling me to look at Steamer.
It can't predict the breakout.
Okay,
that's where Steamer has that flaw. If you want to say it, but I mean consistently, there are things I will use, and I think if you're not looking at Steamer and you're playing in competitive leagues, you're doing it wrong in the fact that other people are. And I'm not saying you have to. I don't agree with, you know, some of these sites that are very reputable that I'll purchase because I know my competitors in the leagues I play that I'm putting up nice cash for are going to be looking at these projections or what that person's saying because I need to be informed on what that is. I don't really care about ADP. If I like a guy, I am going to get that guy. Even if there are things that Steamer has that I disagree with, but I think it's something you should look at. There are tools you should look at. There are certain things you need to have. It's like if you were in the stock market. You need to chart some stuff. There's aspects and certain papers you need to read.
I understand what you're saying, and to me, it's almost like the wealth of information. Like, why would you not look at everything that you have and everything that you can? But to me, Corey, Steamer's not exactly the end-all, be-all.
No, because they're doing projections.
Correct.
They're doing projections. Correct. It's not a crystal ball. They're doing projections, so you got to be careful. Now, listen, when it comes to accuracy, have they done it in several years? We've seen them do it. Yes. I think you got to take that in account. And I don't mind taking that in account, but you also got to look at the fact that, okay, what are they better at, Matt? Hitting or pitching? Because when you look at fantasy baseball, it's two different sides of it. It's not just offense. You have to get pitchers too. So maybe their projections are better for one side of the game than the other side of the game. You got to take that into consideration. And like Matt said, that you can't predict the breakout. That makes it tough also.
Well, here's the key. I just think overall they're the most. They've been the most successful at. Doesn't mean you know
more so than Jake Seeley.
Yes, more so than Jake Seeley. Not to say they're the end all be all, and I don't just use Steamer.
Yeah,
I look at it's like what I try and say. Like I have my starting pitcher index. I use an index. I don't use one source. I have three sources that I kind of trust or that I want to build off of, and then I have my own. I'm the deciding factor here, and I'll tweak stuff through there. But it's like if you buy stocks and you buy indexes, usually the safer bet is to buy an index where you have an array. So I look at certain sites where these projections are like so aggressive on all these players, and that's just asinine. And so you have to know. And it's like with sabermetrics, I can tell people. There is so much out there. I don't use everything. First of all, you can't use everything. Second, use what you understand and use what works for you. Because otherwise, you're just going to be, you know, running diarrhea to mouth.
Diarrhea of the mouth. How about that?
Stinks.
Yeah, it does. It does stink. I think it's fair. I think you use what works for you. I think you use what's got you to the party. And I think, Corey, like for when it comes to football, like you have your resources, obviously, that you use every year, and you've had a lot of success in that. And I'm sure you'll continue to do that, too.
Yeah, it's important. There's no Steamer. I just get started early. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, so I mean, heard. Look, I mean, I started my first NFFC draft.
Was in November.
Last year was May 23rd. That was my first one that I did for my. We did one on Air Draft Weekend,
right?
You know,
yep.
But that was my first one, and I did several. And you have to. I mean, look.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect. Knowing you're bored, don't get bogged down by ADP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and ADP, and people go on to the NFBC site and they just look at the ADP.
If you're gonna
you got to adjust it.
Exactly.
I adjust it from New Year's Day to now.
You might as well just buy a magazine. All you're going to do is look at ADP. You might as well just buy a magazine.
That's Corey, you know what? That's so true. Because if you're looking at stuff, when I did my first baseball draft, it was the week, it was just before Thanksgiving. Stuff has changed. Guys have moved up. Guys have moved down.
Sure, of course. And they're going to continue to do that over the next 3 months as we get closer to the start of the MLB season. Speaking of the start of the MLB season, perhaps there's no player that the universe is as excited about as Shohei Ohtani. We'll talk about it and what his position eligibility means and where you're playing when we come back live on YouTube on Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Hello, YouTube.
Welcome inside Studio 34 here in New York City. My name is Greg Sussman. To my right, it's the fantasy executive. To my left, it is Wall Street. And we got a lot of questions, and rightfully so, when it comes to what to do about Shohei Ohtani, the 23-year-old pitcher coming from Japan over to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He wanted to hit. He wanted to pitch. And in fantasy, that brings confusion. So initially what we had heard was almost everywhere there was going to be two Shohei Ohtanis in fantasy baseball. One the pitcher, one the hitter. And we had discussed that ultimately, if that was the case, you draft the pitcher, you leave the hitter alone because the hitter's going to play only a couple times a week. And the pitcher, hey, his pitcher could be a stud. You draft him where you draft some of these other studs early on. We'll get to exactly that draft status a little bit later.
I don't like that.
Well, then continue to set up and you can...
Yeah.
CBS then comes out just a day or two ago and they say, nah-uh-uh. We are making Shohei Ohtani one guy. He's one guy, so he should be one guy in fantasy baseball. It makes sense. Do with him as you choose. He's a pitcher, and he's utility. If he plays, let's say, the outfield, for instance, 10 games or whatever it is in CBS, he'll get eligibility. First base, 10 games or whatever it is, he'll get eligibility. But they believe it's one guy. You can play him as one guy. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I want to go to you guys first. Corey.
Yeah, I think he should have one position, right? Because what is this dude going to have, two ADPs?
The pitcher so there's has two one of them, yes.
Yeah, the pitcher has one ADP. Mm-hmm. The hitter has another ADP.
Yes.
I think these fantasy sites should go with one set availability for the player and how you roster him. And my guess is that should be a pitcher to start. If you want to change that, years forward, going down. But I think for this year, it should be one, and that should be a pitcher. I think that's what the Angels brought him in to do, is pitch, so make him a pitcher.
He's made it very clear, Matt, that he was not signing with a team that didn't allow him to do both, to pitch and to hit. The Angels kind of have told us that their plan is ultimately he's going to start, get a break, hit as a DH for a couple of days, get a break, and then pitch again. He wants to hit. Corey believes, listen, this guy's a pitcher. I'm not concerned about the hitting. Fantasy owners should not either. Fantasy sites should not either. Where are you on this?
I mean, this is a very intriguing argument that, you know, we're going to continue to hear on and on, even though, you know, certain sites are coming out making their decisions. I want him as a pitcher. That's what I'm drafting Shohei Ohtani at. In the NFBC, they stated a couple months before they went live, he'll be pitcher only. Now, you can make the argument that if we start using his batting stats, then, you know, We got to use other pitchers' batting stats.
Exactly.
You don't want, and first off, you don't want Madison Bumgarner's hitting stats.
Right.
He'll hit a couple of home runs, but he'll bat like 190. You don't want that. So.
But this is a little bit different because he's going to actually start at DH. Madison Bumgarner wasn't starting as a DH. So this is a little bit different than that.
But the other thing, too, is what kind of a hitter is he right now?
Right.
I don't know. I would think, you know, he has power, a beautiful swing. But one, he's making the transition over from Japan to the U.S., and this is a kid that's 23, but he has a game plan. He's got his life goals set. He knows what he wants to. He left a lot of money on the table by coming this year and not next year. You know, he could have made a lot, but he's going to make all that up in endorsements
stuff
and all that
like
stuff.
That.
And I think one of the reasons he did pick L.A., I mean, he's in Anaheim, but being in that market, you know, it's a pretty damn big market to be in, right?
It is, and what he one of the things that he had said is, I don't want the big market. I want New York. I don't want Boston.
But yet he went to
L.A.
You know, maybe it's the
lesser L.A. team
of the two,
right? So I thought that was interesting. That was all kind of the initial reports, and so I thought about this. And you said you want one guy. So do you agree?
This is we don't know what it looks like yet. So in year one, let's go at it as, okay, let's give him one position, go with that.
Okay.
We need to readjust in years, in moving forward. I'm willing to have that conversation. But for year one, being that this is kind of new to the fantasy community, let's go with this guy as a pitcher, as a 23-year-old pitcher.
Okay, so nobody's doing that. Nobody's
I think it's silly. Why throw this monkey wrench in the game? Why do that? Yahoo, why do that?
Well, Yahoo.
ESPN, why do that?
So I think that Yahoo and ESPN are actually doing it in a way that you prefer. Like, there's the pitcher. You want to just draft the pitcher. Don't draft the hitter. There's two of them. You could just draft the pitcher, and he's only a pitcher.
The fact that there's two of them is confusing. There's not two people.
Right. I don't disagree with that. But I do think, after kind of doing some research on this yesterday, that having two people makes it a little bit easier in fantasy baseball and helps a little bit. Because in CBS, he is one guy for two spots, a utility and a pitcher. Most people, not me, but most people play in weekly leagues, right? You set your lineup and you move on. You will never play him as a hitter, ever. You're never going to play him as a hitter because you know he's going to start.
Yeah.
You want the start. You know you're thinking of him as a better pitcher, as you have alluded to, Corey. You're never going to put him in a utility. And it's only going to drive up his price. It is useless what CBS is doing.
Well, with CBS, the only reason I'm happy CBS went that route, because probably one of the only leagues I'll do that's non-NFBC is the RotoWire Dynasty Invitation that Real James Anderson set up. It's a 20-man league. And I drafted Ohtani in the beginning of the third round. So I have him at 23 in that one, and I can use him as both. So for that aspect, I'm happy about it. But otherwise, I want him as a pitcher. I'm looking at a guy that probably going to throw like 140 innings. The upside is maybe 160. This guy only threw 25 innings last year. But as a hitter, you have to understand, if there's two Ohtanis and you're drafting the hitter, you really can't draft him before the 23rd round.
Yeah, he's a utility player.
You can only really draft him as
taxi
a hitter
squad
in a daily league where you can insert
correct
him.
Yeah.
You can't put him in a weekly league and miss out on 4 days.
Exactly. Correct. So that's why even in CBS where you have him as both, he's literally, you're only going to use him as a pitcher. You're never going to use him
and
as your utility player.
That's why I'm saying
player,
we do it that one way this year and then you see what it translates to moving forward.
Correct.
Being this new situation right here. Now, as the pitcher, though, you have to understand, we've talked with Tracy about the player already. He's not going to get a full complement of innings. He's already dealing with this elbow thing. I believe it's about 2 weeks from now when he's going to start throwing off a mound. So we start to temper our expectations on him as a pitcher, too.
So with that being said, Matt Modica, in early NFBC drafts here, where is he going?
Right now, since January 1st, I think he's the 22nd pitcher off the board. That's including relievers. And he's currently at 76.68.
Okay, so who is that around?
Aaron Nola, who I'll take Aaron Nola over Ohtani. He's right now sandwiched in between Aaron Nola and Jose Quintana.
So we had this conversation, I think, off the air yesterday after the BFFs. And we ran down this list of Quintana, Nola. Give me some other ones that are around there.
Going after him is Dallas Keuchel.
Keuchel. Paxton was around there, if I remember correctly. And I'm hearing these names, right? Quintana, who pitches 200
innings Keuchel
every year. Dallas Keuchel, who was awesome.
Crazy. Yeah.
James Paxton, who whenever he pitches, he's awesome. How am I thinking of Ohtani over all these guys?
Well, people are intrigued with the new. People are intrigued with a player that nobody's really seen before. The player that people have heard about a lot. And you know how fantasy owners are. I want to have him when he has this big, remarkable season. Yeah, I want him to be on my team.
And a lot of people want to be in on him year one. Say, yeah. I had Ohtani. That's 100% right, Corey. But this is kind of like LeBron James coming out of high school, if you want to put it in that. This hype and all this. This kid was, you know, he throws 100 miles an hour. He can hit home. He has a beautiful swing. He has all this. And the one thing with the Japanese pitchers is that first year, they seem to be extremely successful.
Correct.
Because, you know, the deception, people aren't used to them. It's a new format and stuff. So if I can get Ohtani as my third, as my SP3.
Right.
Like when I first, one of the first drafts.
How much exposure will you have to him?
I don't think I'm going to have much in redraft leagues because I'm not going to pay that price where he's going right now.
I almost think it's more that you like the other guys around him that I just named, Keuchel,
yeah, no.
Paxton, Nola, better. Not even that you dislike Ohtani, but it's that you just like those three guys a little bit better.
Yeah, and, you know, going, whatever, seven picks ahead of him is like Aroldis Chapman. If I need a closer and I can get Aroldis Chapman, then I know Chapman had a bad month, but he recovered. And look, I don't recommend, for the most part, paying up for closers, but if you're going to do it, I'll go back to Chapman this year. He's one of the guys that I still trust, even with that bad month. But you make a good point here. The other guys around, I think Aaron Nola, if he gets to that 200 inning mark, which I'm banking on him doing, this kid is going to be one of the best pitchers in the National League. So Ohtani, who's, I got at 142 in, say, innings pitched this year, I got him at a max at 160, which I'm not saying is bad. If I have him as my number three, I'm totally cool with that. In the first draft I did, I got him in the seventh round. But he's not going in the seventh round anymore.
Is he on the list for Dr. A today?
Shohei Ohtani is not on the list for Dr. A today. So Ohtani, just because we were just talking about it, steamer projections.
I'm just curious.
Is that okay? May I?
Yes, of course.
Okay. 11-7, 148 innings pitched. Okay. ERA of 3.48 with a 3.5 walk per nine, which is
120 whip they're giving him.
Whip? It's not on the main list here.
Hold no, it's that
much. It's down there. K per nine is 11, which is obviously awesome. His whip, they are giving him 1.2.
I mean, just look. I mean, if he gets 148 innings with 183 strikeouts, that whip and a 3.48 ERA, that's damn good. I'll sign off on that.
That's an SP2.
Yeah, I mean, I'll sign in today's market. Maybe where SP3. Nobody's pitching 200 innings. You want to get at least that 180. You could live with 160 now. You know, you have to build differently and stuff. This is a fine season. So if I can get that, I'm very happy with it. I think this is a reasonable projection based on everything that we're anticipating on how you want to, you know,
The walks per nine thing is really interesting. 3.5. That was surprising to see. But yeah, we'll talk to Dr. Ray about that next week, if I remember from on the list. We do have a lot of baseball players on the list, though, for today. We'll hear from Dr. Ray coming up in about an hour from now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to the king, and I'll see if I can rile him up about, I don't know, something. Stick around. Roto Experts continues after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Here on Roto Experts. Remember, if you're thinking of playing DFS, you should check out Fantasy Factor. It's a perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL, NHL, and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. With that, it is now time to bring in the host of Fantasy Sports Today and the co-host of the Fantasy Sports News Desk. You can hear both of those Monday through Friday. Fantasy Sports Today takes place at 6 a.m. Eastern Time, while you listen to Fantasy News Desk at 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the middle of the afternoon, catching up on all the news throughout the day. It is the king, the Hall of Famer, it's Scott Engel. What's going on, Scotty?
How you doing today, Greg?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Another busy night in the NBA. Of course, the interesting news on Jarvis Landry saying he's not going to take a hometown discount. And I was talking this morning that I think, you know, there's a few good landing spots for him. There was a real need like Buffalo, Chicago, and Kansas City.
Yeah, we could, you know, talk about Jarvis Landry probably closer toward free agency. But the guy wants to get paid, and he wants to get paid now, which you kind of understand.
Yeah, he wants Davante Adams' money, and, you know, this guy has had 210 catch seasons in the last 3 years, coming off a career-high 9 touchdown receptions. To me, he's very, very underrated.
We'll see how underrated he is when free agency starts, because maybe he'll be properly rated, you know?
Yeah, well, I think mainstream fans and sometimes fantasy players give him a bad rap as, you know, maybe this sort of just possession guy, but the 9 touchdowns says a lot. If he does return to Miami, Ryan Tannehill's got to learn something from Cutler and get that guy the ball in the red zone.
You know what? I have a feeling he's not going to be returning to Miami. I just think there's...
Me too.
You know,
I'm with you there.
He wants to get paid. They don't value him for what he is. Move on. That's all.
Yeah, and like I was talking with Tony yesterday, like we talk about Christian Yelich, he's like, well, he's making all this money, signed a contract, he should shut up. You know, guys play these sports because they want to win. Jarvis Landry not been winning with the Dolphins. You know, maybe he wants to go to a team where he thinks he has a better shot to win too.
Yeah, that could,
maybe
that
that's
could be
somewhere
too, sure.
like Houston too, because if you had Deshaun Watson, Jarvis Landry, and DeAndre Hopkins. That looks pretty darn good.
That looks really darn good. But we'll see if that's where they want to spend their money at the wide receiver position. I don't know that it is.
I think he'd make a perfect compliment for DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, they have Will Fuller on the other side. I don't know that that's what they want to do. But again, we'll talk about that closer to free agency coming up in March. Right now, though, if you head on over to rotoexperts.com, Dom Censorino wrote an article in regards to Norv Turner and how he could affect the Panthers' running game. There's been a lot of talk, Scotty, about Norv Turner helping Greg Olsen, for instance, because he's known almost as a tight end whisperer. We know he's going to help Cam's downfield pass. That's what Norv Turner's done for 25 years in the NFL. But how do you think it could help the running game in Carolina?
Well, we always hear about that, but you know, I feel like Norv Turner, that's his history. But in recent seasons, you know, what did he really do that was so impressive? You know, he got fired midway through the, you know, he not fired, but you know, he left midway through his final season. I don't know if I can have any confidence that Norv Turner is going to change anything in a major way here. He's known for running the ball, which can help Christian McCaffrey get more carries, et cetera. And Greg Olsen's a good player anyway.
Oh, I very much disagree that he's not going to, if you don't think he's going to go in and change things. That's simply not true.
I think he's going to be, but I don't know how successful he's going to be. I don't. The last few years of Norv Turner did not blow me away.
And that's fine. I agree. It was underwhelming until he quit on the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings team that new Giants coach Pat Shurmur has helped take to an NFC Championship game. And he quit on that offense. And yet here he brings his son, he brings his nephew, he brings whoever. And they all come into Carolina. And they're going to change a lot. This offense is going to change in a major, major way. And what scares me, if you're a Panthers fan, is that this guy, Norv Turner, and his son and his crew have never had a quarterback like Cam Newton. Never had an athletic quarterback. A guy that, let's be frank, utilizes his legs more than his arm. It's going to be a major, major change for Norv Turner. And if I'm a Cam Newton fan, I don't know that I want that.
Yeah, I think I would want a guy like DeFilippo. You know, wait around for somebody like that, a guy who, you know, does a good job with quarterbacks, et cetera. You know, I could see Brian Schottenheimer more in Carolina more than I could Seattle, too, because, you know, at least that guy did a nice job with Jacoby Brissett, and maybe he's a good quarterback coach. I think I want, like, a quarterback-type mind to come in there. I agree with you that a lot's going to change how successful it's going to be. I just don't know. And you know, that's what we were talking about. I was talking about on Fantasy Sports Today, and I talked about with Tony yesterday, and with you, I believe, is we're seeing a lot of these names recycled around the league, and I don't know if that's always the best thing.
Well, yeah. So anyway, so like I said, when it comes to Norv Turner out there in Carolina, if anything, I'll give Devin Funchess the boost. As I said, I'll give Greg Olsen the boost. I know a lot of people are expecting his downfall. I don't see that happening. But I am definitely nervous about Cam. You know, he's not, like I said, Norv Turner's never had this kind of quarterback to work with at all, ever. So.
Well, if you're nervous about Camp, would you, by extension, you be nervous about Funchess?
Yes, I understand that, but I think that he's going to highlight anybody in the offense. It's probably Funchess.
Right. Well, Camp's got to get him the ball, so it could be dicey there.
Yeah. So we'll see with that. Now, if you continue on in that Roto Experts column by Dom Cincerino, he also writes about Mark Ingram. And what could Mark Ingram be in 2018? In our early mock draft that we did last week, we saw Mark Ingram go with the last pick of the second round. And I was pretty surprised by this. I thought Mark Ingram was going to be a borderline first rounder or at least early second rounder, and it didn't happen. Scotty, do you think that his postseason production is going to affect his value at all in 2018?
I think, you know, when you play in the postseason, they're more important games than the regular season, and you have to take that highly into account. It's not that it didn't happen during the fantasy season, but I think that, you know, Mark Ingram just had like an off spell there, and, you know, he's still going to be a significant part of the offense. I think the running backs are really the wheelhouse of that offense still. And I think Alvin Kamara is probably going to be the number one fantasy running back on that team, obviously. I took him with the 11th pick overall in that mock. But I think Mark Ingram's late second round, you know, early third sort of guy. I think he could be very, very valuable. That, you know, when this team's scoring a lot of points, they can both be relevant. I just think that Kamara has more upside, so that's why he's going to go in the first round.
Yeah, you know, the upside from Kamara certainly is palpable at this point, and people are going to fall in love with him. I said that he could ultimately be the next Le'Veon Bell. And Mark Ingram is certainly not sexy by any means, but I'm interested to see how this offense changes and how much more they give to Kamara, or if they'll continue to ride Mark Ingram. Listen, at Mark Ingram, although he's, you know, closing in on that 30-year-old number, as you said, every running back is different. Every number is different. We don't just use round numbers. I think Mark Ingram, perfect back. I have no problem drafting this guy next year.
Yeah, there are a few years there where Mark Ingram wasn't being used heavily. So it's not about age as a number, like you say. It's like, is there a lot of tread on the tires? I don't think that's my perception with Mark Ingram just yet. It's not like he was a feature back for like 6 years or something like that. You just can't say age 30 necessarily.
Right.
Yeah, so I agree with you there. And I think this team, Sean Payton has always exhibited affinity for using more than one running back, and now he's got two that proved to be really good, and both of them can be relevant on a week-to-week basis.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. We saw that really exact example happen already, right? Like, we saw that happen here last year, and there seems to be no reason we can't see that again. So I think
the difference is between the two running backs is that Ingram needs volume and Kamara doesn't, and that bodes well, I think, for both of them now.
Okay, yeah, you know, probably so. And especially with the news coming out yesterday, Scotty, that Drew Brees isn't even going to negotiate anywhere. He's staying in New Orleans. Every other time he's been a free agent, he's tried to play the market a little bit. He's asked the most expensive contract. But right now with the Saints, he's like, no, I'll be back. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, man, he's 39 years old, and he can still get it done for another year or two. I don't think he'll be a top 10 fantasy quarterback with the way this offense is veering. But, yeah, you know, I still think he'll be a back-end QB1.
It's interesting because he was a guy last year that I think a lot of the rankers had almost rarely in their top 12. Like, he wasn't a guy that was a guaranteed lock top 12 player. And, you know, interestingly enough, here he is. We're like, oh, it's Drew Brees. Will that change? Will we go back to that, or will we remember 2017?
I think there was a lot of rankers based on the matchups down the stretch that ranked him too high. You know, facing Tampa Bay, you know, he had him in a top four to top five. I think as a community, though, I think people will start to look back at the numbers from this season and, you know, maybe look at that and drop him accordingly. That, you know, that he's borderline top 12 or 10 or 12. Because quarterback's deep, and there's probably a lot, at least like 9, 10 guys you're going to want to draft ahead of him.
Probably so, but I think some people in your league will still be like, you know what, it's Drew Brees. He can have a comeback year. He has all of these weapons in New Orleans. You know, I still think there'd be somebody in the league that will think like that.
It might be, but I think they're, you know, especially in a mainstream league, I think you can't go on reputation. This team has changed. It's changed the way that it attacks defenses.
Yeah, it absolutely has. And that's why there's value with Mark Ingram, and that's why there's value with Alvin Kamara. And Drew Brees is not a game manager, but, you know, doing a little bit less than he's used to.
Right, but he's no longer that explosive crux of the offense.
Right, exactly. He's no longer, I think you said it right. I don't kind of need to say it again. I think you did a nice job there, Scotty. All right, Scott, thank it's you. Been fun. We will do it again tomorrow. I look forward to talking to you on Friday.
All right.
Perfect. We'll come back. I got a baseball question for Matt Modica. A lot of baseball in hour number one. He's got to be, he's going to take his jacket off again. He's so excited. Stick around. Roto Experts continue after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
So this wasn't the baseball question I planned on asking, man. I'm on the clock now.
Oh, you're on the clock. That's what's up. Let's do it. Now, who you have? So far, you got Bryce Harper,
that's
right?
That's it. And everybody right. I wanted just got taken. Like, the picks in between
still
me?
Still early, so it's got to be people there. Are you ready to go pitching yet, or are you going to keep going with the bats?
So the best pitcher on the... We have four pitchers taken already.
Oh, boy.
If I was going to take a pitcher here...
It's Madison Bumgarner, right?
I would go Strasburg.
You go Strasburg over Bumgarner.
It's why? Close. You can make that argument that... Look, I'm giving Bumgarner a mulligan for last year. He went all country, got hurt on ATV, and he was never the same. I think he rushed back because, you know, it was a non-baseball.
He was embarrassing. Related.
Yeah, exactly.
100% agree with that.
But, I mean, Strasburg, if he gives you 175 innings.
It seems like he's asking a lot.
I don't know if that is. I mean, he's basically been pitching that 160, 175, right, the last couple of years.
Right.
I just think he can, you know, and one of these years he is going to win a Cy Young, I think. You can go either or, but I wouldn't rule Strasburg out. Put it that way. I don't think he's in your pool right now.
Right.
I would have him in consideration.
Okay.
That's the guy I'd probably go with.
So let me kind of line it up before you do that. So Frank and I are sharing a team, and we've kind of narrowed it down.
Frank Stanfield from the BFFs.
Frank Stanfield from the BFFs, yes. We've kind of narrowed it down to a few players. The bummy Strasburg crew, if you're taking a picture. And then Anthony Rizzo, Francisco Lindor, D. Gordon, Aaron Judge. There's a lot of players you're considering.
That's a good crowd right there. But I don't think at that point, you already have a solid start with Bryce.
Yes.
I would go ahead. Don't check your swing. I would go get another hitter, another top hitter. I would take Francisco Lindor.
You take Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, I'm a Corey here. Right, look, you can get, amazing. You can take Rizzo.
This is amazing.
look, you can take Rizzo and just get that safety of that 30, yeah. 100, 100. There's nothing wrong with that. But Lindor, at least you're getting the shortstop here. You're getting speed. You know, this is a 2020 guy that could, you know, hit close to 300, 280, 300 batting average. So I would probably go that route. That's me. If you wanted to go Judge, I can't kill you on it. I just is not the guy I'm going to take here.
You could have you could have on that team. If you were to go Lindor here, you can have the American League MVP and the National League MVP on the same team.
You can. That's true. And I think Rizzo, I can't because they both play in the National League.
Yeah. But still a good play in Rizzo. But yeah, I think Francisco Lindor is the pick right here.
If you take Rizzo, though, you're pretty much lining yourself up at, say, after two rounds, 60 homers, 200 runs, 200 RBIs.
That seems pretty nice. So. No, like to me, like my in all honesty, my first initial instinct was to take Rizzo. Like I see those numbers, I see he hits 30 home runs every year. He's got 100 RBIs every year.
So now my question to you is, how do you and Frank do the tiebreaker? Like, say you want Rizzo and he wanted Lindor,
right?
Hypothetically,
I think we just talk it out and
chanting out on BFFs.
we won't wait that long. That's not nice to wait that long.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're on the clock now.
That's an interesting conversation we need to have.
I agree.
Is a slow draft etiquette. Yeah.
Yeah. Please don't steal that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm the frenzy today.
Yeah. All the fantasy frenzy today.
Draft etiquette.
We'll probably be doing that Monday or Tuesday. So I think the way that we just talk it out. Like he literally just told me a crew of players he wants. He hasn't broken it down even further. Like we had said that if we got Giancarlo Stanton in the first round, which is kind of our plan, we would have taken Stanton and D. Gordon, and that was how we were going to build the team: power and speed. I think Stanton's a 50 home run guy. Bryce Harper's not. So I don't feel like I could do the Gordon thing with
Bryce Harper. Could hit 50 if he gets the plate appearances. In a season, he could.
So should we take D. Gordon?
I would take Lindor over Gordon. That's the way I would roll.
Okay, so you're sticking with Lindor. Frank Stanfield just texted me, BFF. He said, I think starting Judge and Bryce might be buying too much risk early. Lindor and Rizzo provide more stability. So it sounds like he and I are on the same page here.
No, that it does. I don't think either pick is a wrong pick here.
Right.
And I look, as much as I preach pitching and how it, you know, everybody always says pitching is risky. Hitting is risky, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're going to be busting the first round.
Like, I mean, these dudes play every day.
Correct.
So anything could happen to them.
Absolutely.
Out there on the field
Absolutely.
Every day.
So, you know, we'll talk about it during the break. We'll ultimately make a pick, and I'll let you know who it is. But when we come back on the other side, I'm going to turn the attention to football for a little bit, because this Tom Brady story is a story, and we need to break it down, and we need to talk about it. And we're going to do just that when we return. It's the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.